Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's Sports Talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Tim Barbalace.
Coby Mayo is expected to get plenty of work at third base during Jordan Westberg's absence. Mayo's bat has always been his calling card, while he has worked hard to improve his defense. O's president of baseball ops, Mike Elias, is happy with Mayo's progress defensively.
He's good. He's moving good. I mean, he's a great defender for his size and his body type, and he's got a ton of arm strength, and he's a natural infielder. But, you know, the hot corner at the major league level is really hard, and, you know, getting to that level of play is something that he's been working on.
NFL teams and draft prospects are arriving in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. GM and head coach availability will take place tomorrow and Wednesday, with the first on-field workouts happening on Thursday. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 40s with an overnight low of 23. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 38. I'm Tim Barbalace, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles spring training coverage. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Baseball's back, baby. At least spring training baseball. We got a little over a month until they start playing games for real. But it's a perfect time to talk to our buddy Scott Braun. Scott's a host of Foul Territory and president of the Foul Territory Network, which features over 25 shows covering the game nationally and locally. Look out for a brand new Orioles show launching soon. Find the shows on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Also, Foul Territory will do a live show from inside Orioles camp in Sarasota on Wednesday, March 11th. So, Scott, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start with good news. And since we last spoke to you, the Orioles signed Chris Bassett. That signing means what to you?
Tim and Ken, great to chat. I love Chris Bassett. I think he's been one of the more underrated pitchers for a while now, and he's aging quite gracefully, and he shows the versatility that you look for when you're a team that has its sights set on the postseason. Look at the impact that he was able to make, not just for the Blue Jays over the last few years in the regular season to eat up innings. Sure, was he the best pitcher in the sport? No, but 22 to 2025, minimum of 170 innings and 30-plus starts, ERA under 4 every season, now going back to, I think, 2018. Solid, consistent. You want a guy that's going to take the baseball. I think Orioles fans really, really understand that and let that hit home for them during a regular season where there was, you know, so much turmoil with the rotation last year. But then here's the kicker for me, Ken and Tim. You get to the postseason, and if you've got some of the big boys cranking the way that you hope they are, right, like Rodgers and Bradish and Boz, you can say, okay, Chris Bassett, one or two innings out of the bullpen, high leverage, like he did last year in the playoffs for the Blue Jays. So I love it. 1 year, $18.5 million, sign me up. I was a big fan. I mean, I know some Orioles fans wanted the big kahuna like a Framber Valdez, but this was a very good fallback option in my mind.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go, Scott. I think Mike Elias was talking about bringing in that frontline guy. Orioles obviously didn't. You brought in Chris Bassett. But with that being said, the starting rotation is vastly better than it was opening day last year. But is it good enough for the postseason? Is it good enough to make a run in October?
I think it's good enough. I mean, is it good enough to, win a World Series title? I'm not sure. I think the team's still going to have to really crank on offense. And I would say in terms of concern, I'd probably put it one notch below now the bullpen. Yeah. I would be more concerned about the bullpen at this point. There's a lot of unproven names, and you're going to really rely on a bounce back from Helsley, and hopefully that does happen. But I'm actually more concerned officially now about the bullpen, both in the regular season and in the postseason. And I know if things are going well for them at the trade deadline, you can load up on that bullpen. So I just think that the rotation is in a position right now where there's quality and there's a little bit of quantity now. And that can change really quickly with injuries, but yeah, I would say this is a huge improvement. Is it a 10 out of 10 improvement? Like, is it everything everyone dreamed of in the offseason? No, but it's pretty good, right? I mean, Eflin's going to fill innings for you, and then I think they have high hopes for what Shane Baz can do. He hasn't really put it all together yet, and he's dealt with some injuries in the past, but hopefully that's behind him. Bassett's your guy that's Mr. Reliable. Bradish full season. And what is Trevor Rogers going to look like? It looks like he's throwing the ball really nicely in camp and looking like the same guy from last year. So overall, do I think it's the best rotation in baseball? But it is in a much better place than it was last year. Hopefully it should be a top half of the league rotation, and that should be good enough.
Talking with Scott Braun, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Well, you mentioned they got a crank on offense. Well, expectations were that Jordan Westberg would be a big part of that offense, and here we are now. He's got a partially torn UCL, getting a PRP injection. He's going to miss at least all of April. So, first of all, it's unfortunate, but now it just seems like injury prone is fair because the guy just can't stay healthy. But how big a loss is Jordan Westberg?
Massive, because he's got it all in the clubhouse too, and that stuff matters. He's one of those gamers, you know, brings it every day to the ballpark, super well liked there. I mean, he's one of the team leaders, so it's going to hurt a ton. That's why I mentioned, you know, is the offense going to be cranking? Because when I looked at this roster heading into spring training, I was like, okay, this could be a top five offense in baseball. So the Orioles should have enough starting pitching. I'm not sure about the bullpen, but I think it's a top five offense. And when that happens, that should be a playoff team. It certainly hurts when you're already down two starters and we've barely begun spring training. So yeah, I think Westbrook's going to hurt a ton. We know it's at least a month. It could end up being more. It's still a young player. And yes, it's a player who's been hurt in the past. To me, that generally means they're going to play it slower with him because of what's happened. So you knock two of them out of there. They're in a much better position than they were in the past on this front too, right? It's time for Kobe Mayo to show what he's got. You added Ward and Alonso, which should give you about 70 home runs added to your lineup. So overall, I still like the lineup a lot. It's just it's taken a hit already to start the year. Basayo is going to be asked to do a lot. And I mean, with the way that he even looked in flashes last year, I think he is going to do a lot, and he's going to be able to focus on the bat. A lot of times catcher prospects don't work out because, I mean, the catching part is such a to-do that I think the bat falls behind. Maybe we saw that a little bit with Adley Rutschman over the last couple of years. Sounds like Basayo is going to do a lot of DHing, and they're just going to let him rip. And I think he's going to have a huge first full year. So I'm not like super concerned about the offense. I just think right now when you're missing those two guys to start the year, Westberg and Holiday, it could be more of a, let's call it top 10-ish offense versus what I thought could be one of the best to bang in baseball right now.
Well, part of it, Scott, is these young guys are going to have to step up because a lot of them regressed last year. We know Gunnar Henderson dealt with the shoulder impingement, but the power numbers were really down. You mentioned Adley Rutschman. He struggled for a year and a half. Colton Cowser, it was a rough year for him. And then the guys that are already hurt, like a Jackson Holliday, a Jordan Westberg. Like, are you expecting bounce backs from this young core?
I'm expecting bounce backs from some of them, but like we're talking about here, not all of them, right? I mean, you're already going to be behind the eight ball with Westberg battling the elbow, and then Jackson Holliday is another good example here, guys. Usually with a hammock bone, you do have a power issue.
That
usually happens for a couple months when a player comes back, on average. Occasionally you see a guy come back and he's fine, and it sounds like the Orioles will slow play it with him more so than the Mets are with Lindor, and more so than the Diamondbacks are with Corbin Carroll, but that's a factor there, right? Does that hurt the development? Does he look more like last year's version and not take that next step? That could be the case. But, I mean, for me, You need Pete Alonso to be Pete Alonso, and he's as solid and consistent as they come, and I think he has a massive chip on his shoulder. He's pissed about the way things ended with the Mets. He can say whatever he wants. He's nice as can be. He comes on foul territory all the time, and he's too classy to say anything. But if you're Pete and you were the franchise leader in homers and the whole deal, and they didn't want you at the rate that the Orioles wanted you, you're out to prove to the world that they were missing out on something. So I think he's going to potentially lead the league in home runs. Yeah, you need Gunnar to look like the superstar from 2 years ago. Taylor Ward just needs to be himself. He's super streaky, but he can hit you 30, 35 home runs. So as far as the young guys, but yeah, it would be nice to see a solid, consistent season from a Colton Cowser. You want to see the bat bounce back for Rutschman. I guess the point here for me, guys, is that even if, let's say, 30 to 50% of the guys that underperformed last year bounce back, you'll be in good shape because there is enough depth to be like, all right, this guy's not cranking. Let's say it's Kobe Mayo, okay, then now Westberg's back and we don't have to rely on him.
Scott, the AL East looks like a gauntlet. We probably talk about this every time we talk to you, and who knows what Tampa's going to be, but the other four teams look pretty loaded. How would you stack this division right now?
Yeah, I was really...
With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your finances. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
High on the Orioles up until a few weeks ago. I'm still high on them. I still think they're going to have a really competitive year. I really like Craig Albernaz, too. He comes from a winning formula over there in Cleveland. I think it was a tough spot last year. I like Todd. I know there were mixed reviews there. I thought it had more to do with not giving him the right roster. I actually was surprised. I just saw these Tony Mancelino comments now that he's with Atlanta. I'm sure, I don't know if you guys have gone over
it. Oh, we literally did.
Yes,
prior to the break.
We'll be hitting those tomorrow on foul territory. I was like, I mean, I live for that stuff, the juicy comments. So I got rescued. I'm out. But anyway, the point is, Craig Albernaz coming over. He's one of the most well-liked guys in the game, but a gamer and coming from a system that has continuously figured out how to do more with less. That's the Cleveland Guardians. So I think he's going to be the right mix there. So anyway, how I'm stacking it right now, I do think that the Blue Jays and the Yankees are at the top tier. Second tier for me is Baltimore and is Boston. And then third tier is the Rays. It would be really hard for me to see the Rays making the playoffs, finding a way to do that. But to me, Yankees and Blue Jays are playoff teams. And then I think one of Baltimore or Boston ends up making it to the postseason as a wild card. So we'll see. Boston's got the pitching. Baltimore's a little bit more, I would say, well-rounded. I'm worried about Boston's offense more so than I am Baltimore's offense. So that's how I stack it up right now. Boston and Baltimore in two very equal spots.
Scott, I keep saying that I'm going to savor this upcoming baseball season just because 2027 is just a complete unknown with the CBA about to expire December 1st. You had the Tony Clark fiasco going on. What are your thoughts on the future labor wars between the PA and the league?
I think it's going to get ugly for a while. I think we've all been anticipating that. I'm going to stick with my prediction. Nobody totally knows what's going to happen, but the prediction that I've been putting out there for a while now is that you'll barely have any real conversations until February. That's not abnormal. We had that last time, and that is called a lockout. We're going to have a lockout for many months. That is the strategy that's put in place. These are lawyer battles, and once we start talking in February, you'll start to hear about deadlines. If we don't figure something out by March X, then we'll miss X amount of spring training, and then it'll start to dip into will we miss time during the season. I think you'll actually get announcements on shows like yours and mine that say, hey, we're missing the first week of the season. We're now down to 155 games, blah, blah, blah. We're going to keep going there, and we'll hit a point where I think there will be a real deadline that's not really shared about actually missing those games. And what I mean is I think they'll figure it out like a couple weeks after the fake deadline, and they'll end up chopping spring training down to either, I would think, potentially nothing and say, hey, oh, well, we fought. You guys are going to just have to hop on the field, spend, I don't know, a week at the ballpark, get yourself together, and they'll all be training. This is not like the old days where it's like, oh, I'm out of shape. I go to spring training and run some laps. Like, it's not ideal. There'll be more injuries, but they'll show up to the ballpark. They'll play some sim games against each other, and then they'll wrap some doubleheaders. They'll pick up off days and turn them into games, and they'll tell everyone, oh, we're down to 148 if we don't figure it out by tomorrow. And then suddenly they'll figure it out. A deal will come in place, and we'll be back to 162 because nobody wants to lose money. Players don't want to lose paychecks, and owners don't want to violate any media contracts. So that's how they'll piece it together and get the season back. So it'll look really bad. People will be like, this is it, lockout, we're actually missing games, and then they'll fix that. Now, that's just a prediction. Could they miss half a season? Could they miss a ton? Yes. I think there's too much on the line. You can argue to death about the salary cap and other issues in the sport. The sport is freaking thriving as a whole. There's a massive media contract that's looming a couple years away. The last thing you want to do is miss games, not just for the fans, but even for the Amazons and the YouTubes of the world and all of these other spots that might be bidding, along with, of course, Fox always throwing games out there, and I'm sure they'll be in the mix as well. So point is, I think there's a lot of hoopla. There's a lot of, oh, our war chest is bigger than yours. We can handle this for a long period of time. I just don't think they're going to miss games. I think they're going to make it look as ugly as possible publicly and to make it appear as if we're actually losing games, and then they'll just pick it up. They actually did this last time. I don't remember the exact details, but last time around they did this. They ended up having to mess around with either some scheduling or starting a bit later, but squeezed all of the games in. So I think they'll take that to the extreme this time around. So if you want to just like put your head down during the off season from December 1st, the lockout, up until like, say, April 1st, and just miss all of the BS, you'll just wake back up and be like, cool, there's a 162-game season. I didn't have to hear all of the lawyer battles over billions of dollars.
Scott Braun, always great. Reminder that Foul Territory will be at Orioles camp in Sarasota on Wednesday, March 11th. Scott, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it.
Guys, appreciate the time. Great to talk to you.
Thanks so much. Hey, remember, Cordell Woodland is going to join us at 5:30. But coming up next, Eric DaCosta was on the Inner Circle podcast. What did he have to say as he's getting ready to ramp up this offseason? You'll hear from him next.
Next time on the Big Bad Morning Show.
How great was college basketball Monday night? Also, the O's take the diamond on Monday for exhibition baseball, and reports are that Lamar Jackson has been engaged in off-season activities with the team, but is he ready to sign the extension?
Tomorrow on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.